All right. Well, I'm so excited today that we're beginning a brand new series called Waymaker. Now, for those of you English teachers out there, I understand that Waymaker is sometimes two words, but I found out it's in the dictionary, Waymaker. But even if we made it up, it's true about who God is. What we're talking about in this series is how God has the ability, that God has the power to make a way. When we can't see it on the surface, when we can't see what's around us, God can make a way. And so let me ask you this. Let me just tell you this about this series. I really believe that this series is going to be a game changer for so many people. And so I think week after week, I think you're going to hear more and more about the power of God as you look at your situation and your story, how God can show up and come through. But I also believe that this series is going to apply in a big way for our church collectively. So let me ask you this question as we get started this morning. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you needed God to make a way? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you needed God to make a way? Of course you have, right? We've all been in those situations, right? Big or small. Maybe for you, maybe what jumped out to you first is maybe a time in your life when you felt like you were stuck. Maybe a place in your life where you felt like you were lost, right? Maybe relationally or spiritually. I mean, it could be financially, in your career, in your family, feeling stuck or lost. Maybe it was a time where maybe there was an obstacle that was preventing you from moving forward into the blessing that God wanted to bring in your life. But maybe for some of us, you would say, you know what, actually, I'm in a season like that right now, right? I'm in a season right now where I'm needing God to make a way, whether it's in a health situation or a provision kind of way, I need God to make a way. Maybe you're in a season right now where maybe it feels like you're in the wilderness, where maybe it feels like there's this like fog of what's around you. And so in this series, what we want to do is I want to show you how our Waymaker God can open doors that look closed, how God can bust through barriers to bring blessing in our life, and how God can create pathways. He can make a way out of nothingness. So that's where we're going in this series. And we're gonna look at a story today from Isaiah chapter 43. It's later in the Old Testament. And Isaiah 43, and basically God is delivering a word to his people through the prophet Isaiah. And God is bringing a message of hope to people at a time when they felt kind of stuck, when they felt kind of hopeless, kind of lost, and maybe even spiritually dry. And before we read it, what I want to do is, if you were to think of this, almost like a song, it's not, but if you were to think of it like a song, this is kind of the theme verse. Like this theme verse that I want to read to you is actually, is kind of like, this would be the chorus of the song, you know? This would be the place that if you're on the radio and your song comes on and all of a sudden they get to that part, this would be the place that you turn the radio up and you start singing, "Don't stop," you know, or whatever you sing, right? And so so I want you to check out this theme verse and then we'll break it down. But here's what the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 43, starting with verse 19. He says this, and this is a word for us. "See, I am doing a new thing," God says. "Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way," there's our phrase, "I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." This is God's word for us today, right? And so here's the thing. God is saying, I believe God's saying this not just to the people he was speaking to in Isaiah chapter 43, but I believe this is an eternal word that God wants to speak over our obstacles. It's an eternal word that God wants to speak over our stuck places, over the times when we maybe feel like we're lost or dry or hopeless. God says to us, "I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. I'm always doing a new thing. I'm always moving. Can you feel it? Do you experience it? Are you seeing it?" Because the thing is, God is saying to us, like, yes, I moved in your life and in the past, but I'm still moving. I'm still making a way because I'm a way maker. I'm still moving today. And so here's why I think that's important. I think it's important because if you don't believe that God is doing a new thing, if you don't believe that God is actually at work in your real life, in your real situation right now, then you'll always stay stuck where you are. If you don't believe that God is moving and God is doing a new thing, then you will always get stuck where you are or in what was before. So a little more background, Isaiah. Isaiah was a great prophet. He was a super, he was a gifted prophet. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but he's sometimes called the eagle eye prophet. The eagle eye prophet. Why that? Well, think about an eagle. An eagle can see for miles and miles and miles ahead of where most people can see. And this is what Isaiah, he's speaking to a group of people. He's prophesying about some stuff that he wouldn't even see in his lifetime. Kind of crazy, right? He's preaching sermons, if you will. He's uploading content into everybody's iTunes for something to prepare people for something that they're not going through yet, but they will go through. So when they get to that place in their life, they can say, "Oh, what did he say?" And they press play on their iPod or on their iPhone and to play the song, right? iPod's kind of old, but anyway. But I think this is why you and I, this is why we need to take good notes when it comes to our Bible studies, when it comes to when you go to church. Because here's the thing, sometimes you come to church and you hear a word that you're like, "Oh, that was good, but I'm not in that situation right now," right? And you know, but here's the thing, you might be, and you probably will be. And so in the moment, it might not seem like this is a really big deal, but sometimes God wants to give you some content that you can put on your device that you can play later on. So, you know, for instance, let's say we're talking about parenting, and you're a high school or college student, and you're like, "What does this have to do with me?" Right? This doesn't have anything to do with me. But guess what? Maybe 6 years down the road or whenever that happens, you might get one of those puppies and you're going to be trying to figure out, "Oh man, what did we talk about back then?" Because, so take good notes because God sometimes wants to use stuff later in your life. But here in Isaiah chapter 43, it's kind of what's happening. Some of God's people had been exiled, so they had been living in the land that God promised to give them, basically the promised land. So they were living in the land, but yet some of the people had been exiled to this place called Babylon. Let me show you a map so you understand where this is. You can kind of see the red line here. So Jerusalem is on the left side of the ark, and that's, of course, where the promised land was in that kind of area. And then all the way to the other side is Babylon. And Babylon, it looks short on a map, but it's actually about 900 miles apart. And so they had been exiled away from the land that God promised to give them. And in a lot of ways, it's because the people of God messed up the blessing that God intended to give them, the promised land. And at the same time, they also messed up being the agent of blessing that God wanted to make them into. So because of that, they were exiled by their enemies because they were unfaithful to God. So basically, they kept turning their back on God after they got what they always wanted. And in that season, you know, God stepped back and said, "Okay, you want to do things your way." And their enemies overtook them, right? And so you got to know Babylon was like being in enemy territory. It was a place that they certainly did not follow God. It was a very godless place as far as the Lord their God. They worshiped other gods. And it was a place where it was known as kind of like an evil empire. It was an evil city, right? Whatever happens in Babylon stays in Babylon, right? I don't know if we know any place like that, but I'm just saying there was a place like that, right? A lot of evil happened there, and so Isaiah, he's writing to this group of people that were actually still in the promised land. One group was exiled, while there was another group that was still in the promised land, but they were feeling this oppression from the Babylonians to some degree, at least economically they were oppressed. It was a culturally different situation where all of a sudden everybody, we were a God-fearing nation, and then all of a sudden there's all these other weird things coming in, and our kids are trying to figure out which way is up and which way do we go and who's the real God. Maybe you can't relate to that, but I'm kidding. But here's the thing. Isaiah knows that one day this group of people who are in the promised land, they're going to go through a season where they're going to be exiled too, because they keep turning away from God. And so into that context, Isaiah is speaking this word from God. And he's saying, when you get to that place where you never wanted to be, when you're removed from the place you always wanted to be, and when you get to that place in the wilderness where you're wondering, where is God? What is happening? The word from the Lord is this: I want you to know that God says, "I am still doing a new thing. Like, I'm still trying to bless you, and I'm still trying to move in your life. In fact, I want you to know that all your life, God has been trying to bless you. I mean, that is a theme throughout all the scripture. God is a God of blessing. God is trying to bless you. And I don't mean in a prosperity gospel kind of way. I don't mean in a God wants to get you a house and a car, which those are nice, right? I don't mean in a sense of like, you get a pool and a puppy and a boyfriend. Although we'll celebrate that, right? We'll celebrate with you. But what I mean is that God is always trying to find a way to bless you from the very core of your being. It's who God is. It's what God does. God wants to pour his love into you and to let his love flow through you. And so that's what God said, you may remember, all the way back to Abraham. It's always been a part of God's story. God said to Abraham, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Remember that? And so here's what happens. It's like basically with Abraham, this has always been God's plan for his people, for anyone who calls on the name of God, right? Like, God's always wanting to bless you so that, here's how it works in the church. If you're a follower of Jesus, God wants to bless you and to pour into your life so that everybody you come in contact with, everybody you talk to, everybody you get around, that all of a sudden they get blessed because Jesus is in you, and all of a sudden they start feeling and experiencing more of Jesus. They say, whoa, there's something different about you. There's something, I just feel like I want to be closer to you. You're blessed so that you can be a blessing. And so Isaiah speaks this word to the people who is still in the land about an exile they're going to encounter someday, telling them that when you get there, I want you to remember this word from the Lord. So let's jump back to verse 15. Here's what the Lord says. He says, when you get there, basically, I want you to remember this. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. In fact, in the middle of their situation, when you get to that place in the wilderness, I want you to remember who God is. He reminds us of who God is. And I think this applies to so many areas of our lives. When you feel dry, when you feel like you're in a stuck season, maybe you feel like you're lost and needing hope, what God says is you need to remember the Lord, right? I don't know about you, but I think most of us have a tendency, when we go through difficulty, when we go through an obstacle, when we go through some kind of barrier in our life, the easy thing to do, or giants in front of us, the tempting thing to do is to zoom in on the problems that are in front of us. We all do this, right? I do this so many times. I like to name all the problems, right? I'm like, well, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is, you know, and we need this, and, you know, and so we all have a tendency to zoom in on what we don't have, maybe an obstacle that's in front of us, and when we do, it starts to become everything. But what God is saying is, look, instead of staring at the problem, look up and remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. And so here's the first thing I want you to know, that when you're in the wilderness, when you're in a wilderness season, I want you to remember this. Number one, remember that God is with you and that God is fighting for you. Remember that God is with you and that God is fighting for you. And let me add this, even if you can't feel it, God is with you and God is fighting for you. What he's saying is, don't just stare at your problems in front of you, but remember the Lord, that God's present and that God's able. Now let's skip to verse 16 and 17. This is a fun part here. He says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way, there it is again. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together. And they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. So what is he saying here? What's he doing here? God is reminding the people of God of their story. He's reminding the people of God is basically how God had shown up and how God had come through in the past. And it wasn't something that happened in their lives, but he's reminding them of what happened in their family story, in the story of Israel. And he's pointing back to that, and he's saying, look, God has come through over and over and over again. Let me ask you this question. How many of you, when you're in the car, how many of you listen to music really loudly in the car? How many of you are like, yep, that's me. That's me. All right, we got like four people. And some, how many of you, like, you do, but you didn't want to raise your hand, but you're like feeling brave? All right, none of you. All right. anyway, but here's the thing. What I know about listening to music, when you get to your favorite part, you know, what kind of music do you like? What kind of music do you like? Country? How many country? All right. How many R&B or hip-hop? All right, we got a few, right? Anyway, well, here's the thing. What happens when you get to your favorite part of the song, right? Man, you turn that thing up, and it's that moment where you start singing, don't stop believing. This is like, you know, anyway, I could go on from there. But this is, here's the thing. You turn it up, and you sing it at the top of your lungs because it's your song. Well, what we just read is actually Israel's jam. Like, this is their jam. This is like the greatest hits for them, you know? They love this song. It's the story of how God worked in the past, and they tell it over and over and over. And so Isaiah goes all the way back to when they were in slavery, and he starts singing their song. And he's basically like, hey, guys, do you remember when you were in slavery in Egypt? And they're like, yeah, we remember that. Although it wasn't them, it was their parents. But it's their story. And remember that time when you were in slavery and you were there for 400 years and you thought you might not ever get out? Yeah, we remember that. And you remember how in the middle of nothingness, God raised up somebody to be your deliverer, Moses. And Moses, this stutterer who didn't have enough, God empowered him and he went to Pharaoh. And remember, he didn't have to go to Pharaoh just one time, but he had to keep going back and back and back to bust through a barrier in your life to get you free. But remember, after he kept pleading, God says, let my people go, that Pharaoh finally did it. And once he did it, we thought we were free, and we started walking into our newfound freedom, but soon we realized that the chariots and the horses started chasing us. And as they're chasing us, as we started running toward where we thought God wanted us to be, here was the Red Sea in front of us. And so we have a barrier behind us and a barrier in front of us. Do you remember this story? And they're like, yeah, we remember. But do you remember how Moses took the staff of God and he put it in the water? And at that moment, the waters defied gravity. They stood up, they parted, and they stood at attention, almost like they, like in attention in the face of their master, right? The one who created the waters, right? God parted the waters and he allowed us to walk forward into our newfound freedom. Do you remember that? And they're like, yeah, don't stop believe, you know, this is their song, you know? And so I think you can relate to this because we do this all the time where we remember what God's done in our life. There's a song we sing here at the Fountain quite a bit, and we're going to actually do it next week, so get ready. It's a song where we remember the story of how God's worked in the past, and we declare that God will do it again. You know, you may know the song. Here's the words on it and everything. So it's like, you know, it's got a good groove too. Da-na-na-na, I seen you move, you move the mountains, and I believe, I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe, bah, 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 I see you do it again. Like, we love that song. We're like, woo, Jesus, this is my song. You have moved in our lives. You have moved in our church. And I believe, I know that you will do it again. That's what Isaiah's doing here. I mean, he turns on the radio. And he's like, you remember this song? Seeing you move, right? He turns on the greatest hits of how God had moved in their life before, and he turns up the volume. In fact, let's look back at verse 16 and 17. It's kind of like a song, you know? Da-na-na-na, you made a way, da-da-da-da, through the sea, da-da-da-da, a path through, da-da-da, the mighty waters who drew out, da-da-da, the chariots and horses done fit, the army in, the reinforcements. You see, they're singing this song, and they're like, yeah, God, you did it, right? It's basically as if to say God has been faithful before, and we believe that God will do it again. And so here's the second thing I want you to know. Number two, when you get stuck in the wilderness, remember what God did in the past. When you get stuck in the wilderness in your life, and, well, I don't know what's going on, and I don't even know where, and I don't know who, and I don't know how, remember what God did in the past. Because if God did it in the past, it means God has the ability to do it again. Raise your hand if God has ever made a way in your life before. Has God ever made a way in your life before? You know, I don't know how God made the way. Maybe it was something real silly and something real simple. Maybe God made a way by healing your headache. Maybe God made a way by getting you into a school or into a career or into the job you wanted. Maybe God actually made a way by getting you out of something, whether it was a relationship or a situation that you thought you wanted all along, but all of a sudden at the end, as you get to later on in your story, you realize, wow, God made a way by actually helping me to get out of that situation. Maybe God made a way for you, and maybe there was a time when you were so strapped financially and somebody slipped you a $20 bill and they had no idea that it helped you to buy your gas and it helped you to get your groceries that day. God is in the business of making a way. And so when Isaiah said that, it's reminding the people that they're no longer slaves, so that when they get into bondage, when they get into the wilderness, when they get into this place in Babylon someday, they will remember that God freed them once and God will do it again. So when you get stuck in the wilderness, remember what God did in the past. So let's skip to, so this song's going on, it's like the groove is happening, and then we get to verse 18, the very next verse, and it says this. God says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. It's like, what? Like, God, that messes up the flow of the song. Like, we were singing our theme song, you know? We're on the one, it's like whiplash, you know? On the one hand, God is saying, okay, remember what I've done in the past. And then he says, okay, now forget about it. You know, like, forget about the former things. Now, let me just say, that's kind of good advice in some ways, forgetting about the past, forgetting what happened in the past, because for so many of us, it's easy to get stuck in the past. So many of us have had things happen in our lives, all of us, have things that maybe we regret, things where we've maybe messed up. Maybe it was something in your story that you, like, wish never, ever, ever happened. And so many times we spend our life looking in the rearview mirror of what we would have changed in the past instead of looking at the windshield of what God wants to do in our future. And it's easy to get stuck in the past, beating ourselves up because of our mistakes. But I want you to know that the cross of Jesus Christ, this is the gospel. The cross of Jesus Christ has made a way. The cross of Jesus Christ has made a way to give you freedom so that you can get past your past. So your past no longer defines you. This is, you become a new creation. This is the gospel. But what I've also found is it works the other way. That we can actually get paralyzed living in the past of even the good things. Just go to your high school reunion or your college reunion, right? And you hear all the stories of what used to be and what was so good, and that's good, right? But we can get stuck there. In fact, it's almost like God is saying, look, remember that I moved in the past, but forget about how I did it. Remember that I did it, but forget about how I did it, right? How I brought the miracle. In other words, don't rely on your memory of the miracle and how it happened, but instead, and miss the miracle that God is wanting to do right now, and is working up right now in the process of your story. God's doing a new thing. And so here's the thing, here's the second, or the third lesson I want you to know when we're in the wilderness. Number three, remember the way God made, but forget about the way God made it. Let me say that again. Remember the way God made, but forget about the way God made it. What does that mean? Well, it just means this. When I was a teenager, we would go on this retreat, and when I was in youth group called TLC, Teens Love Christ. And for some of our teenagers, we actually sent our teenagers on that. We combined with my home church from growing up, and we did this amazing retreat, and we're doing it again. Do it again, right? But I always remembered that was the time when people seemed to meet God in big ways. And as a teenager, I would go through these seasons where I was like, I'm just waiting on another TLC. You know, God did it in the past, and God did it at TLC, and so I'm ready for God to do it again. And what God is trying to say, and he's telling Isaiah through Isaiah, he's saying this, remember that God made a way for you, but forget about the method that God used to bring the miracle, right? Because here's the thing, sometimes in ministry, sometimes churches can get into a point where they worship the methods and they forget about the ministry that God is wanting to do through the methods, right? The ministry has to be the main thing. The methods have to help that to happen. Because here's the thing, God isn't going to do it the same way every single time. Just read the Gospels. When you read the Gospels and Jesus and how he healed people in the Gospels, he healed people in all different ways. I mean, think about that. Jesus, sometimes he would heal people by touching them. Sometimes Jesus healed people because people touched him. Sometimes Jesus healed people by a spoken word. Other times Jesus healed with using an object like mud. Sometimes Jesus moved when people who were healed took a step of faith. On the other hand, sometimes healing came because of the step of faith of disciples around someone who brought their friend and said, "Hey, can you heal my friend?" Right? Sometimes Jesus healed immediately, and sometimes he healed over time. Sometimes he healed right in front of them in a short-range miracle, and sometimes Jesus did it from miles and miles away. And so the point is this: God doesn't want us to just fall in love with the miracle and how God did it, but God wants us to fall in love and to realize it was done because of the miracle maker. And so God says to us over our situations, over our stuck places, God says to us over the things that we've been praying for, or maybe the things that we stopped praying for because we thought that maybe God didn't care or God wasn't big enough. God says to us, "Listen, I'm making a way. I'm making a way. But maybe not in the same way I did it before." Like, it's not about the method. It's about God. And so, I mean, I really think that the people of God were probably looking around waiting on Moses to show back up. Right? "God, you made a way," when Moses was here, you know? And so they're looking around for another deliverer, and God's like, "I'm your deliverer. Don't worship the method. Follow the one who's the miracle maker." Now it brings us to our theme verse, Isaiah 43, verse 19. Here's what he says. He says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." You know, I want you to know that God didn't just move in the past. God didn't just move in your life in the past, but that God is moving right where you are right now. Do you see it? Are you looking for it? God is always moving. And this is the fun part of what it's like to follow God. When I first started following Jesus, it was like, you know, I went to church, you know, I sang the songs, you know, I tried to be a good person, you know? But over time, it's become fun to realize every single day you get up and you say, "God, I don't even know what you have in store for today. I know I'm trying to love God and love people and to make disciples, but let's see what journey we get on today," right? And there's a plan and there's a structure, but God will open up opportunities and doors and things. It's just amazing to see what God will do next. You know, in the past, for the Israelites, God made a way through the waters. Like, it was the waters that needed to part. He made a way and in order to get to their freedom. But this time, God is saying, this time it's not going to be through the waters. This time I'm going to make a way through the wilderness. I imagine some of us can relate to a wilderness season because you've probably been in the wilderness before. Maybe you went on a hike and you were in the wilderness, or maybe it's figuratively, you know. But the wilderness is a place where it feels like you're just going to be walking forever. The wilderness is a place where you're not going to die probably, but it's easy to get lost. You know, it's easy to kind of lose your sense of purpose and direction. It's the place where you feel like You can't feel God like you used to feel God. You know, like when you first started following Jesus, you know, you open your Bible and it's like, da-da-da-da, and God's speaking, da-da-da-da. But all of a sudden in the wilderness, God is still speaking, but it sounds differently. And God is speaking, but he's speaking differently. He's speaking not in a loud way, but in a still, small voice. And in those wilderness seasons, what God uses those wilderness seasons in our life to do is to sometimes get rid of the clutter and to listen, to tune in to what God might be saying to us now. And so here's the thing. Think about this. What did they need when they were in the wilderness? What did they need? They needed water, right? They needed water. So I love this. God, see, what used to be the barrier in front of them, water, has now become the blessing in their life, you know? What used to become the barrier holding them back is now the thing that God's saying, "Hey, I'm going to actually use that same thing that you thought was a barrier, and I'm going to actually make it the blessing that I'm going to bring in your life." God can turn barriers into blessings. Now, here's the thing. I think this is a great word for all of us, but I think this is also a great word for our church. You know, as we're called by God to reach this community with the love of Jesus in such great ways, and God is moving in such big ways in this church. God is moving and impacting marriages and stories and families, and we're seeing it happen right in front of our eyes. But one of the barriers is not the water, and it's not the wilderness. One of the barriers is being portable. And so for us, what we've been saying over these over our Imagine More campaign is imagine the new thing that God is wanting to do with a 24/7 presence in this community. God is still moving, but imagine what God is wanting to do. Imagine what ways God is wanting to open up for people to experience Him with a 24/7 presence in this community. And we've been raising funds in this. We just finished year two of our Imagine More campaign. And at the beginning of this campaign, you can actually see on our program, we're actually about to bust through a barrier that 2 years ago, many of us said, I don't think there's any way possible that we could ever hit that, that we could ever raise that much money. And yet here we are with 10 months to go in the Imagine More campaign or wherever we are, we're about to cross a barrier that everybody said 2 years ago would be impossible in 3 years. Can we just give God a hand for that? That's awesome, right? That's awesome. Now, here's the thing. Thank you for your generosity that's making that happen. And I want you to know it is so important, and it's so important in the season, and here's why. We have continued to search. We've continued to look for the right thing. And one of the things that we really believe is that as we're actively looking for a facility, we're refining our search, okay? We're refining our search for what we're looking for. We have to hold, as a church, we've always had to hold two things in our hands. The immediate and the long term. The immediate and the long term. And we have to be, you know, we have to be responsible, and we have to be bold about what that means for us now and how it impacts the future. But what we're starting to search for very, very clearly is a transitional facility that we can get into that could grow this church for the next 2 to 5 years. Now, it could be something that goes even beyond that. But instead of just the long term, instead of just the long term, we're looking for that too. But we're looking for what are there possibilities out there that could help grow this church for the next 2 to 5 years. And what was exciting as we were looking at this as a leadership team is we're realizing, wow, this is a pathway that could potentially, with the right opportunity, get us into a facility and get us into a 24/7 presence faster than we even thought. And so I tell you all this because one of the things we were saying as a team is this is a season when we need to be praying as a church. And I want to invite you into a season of prayer and discernment. I want to invite you to be praying and to be discerning, to be asking God to open the right opportunity. Okay? So I'm inviting you to pray for the right facility, for the right situation, so that when God provides that way, we can walk through it. But here's what I really believe. God is going to make a way. But here's the teaching. But how God does it is up to God. God is going to make a way, but how God does it is up to God. Because the truth is, I truly believe God is going to do it in a way that everyone will know, that everyone will know that it only happened because of the powerful hand of our God. We participate in that, but God is going to show up, and God is going to come through, and God is going to continue to work right now. And so as you think in your life about the greatest obstacles today, I think it's important to know it's not our job to predict the way that God is going to make, but to trust that God will do it and that God will make a way in your situation, in your life, in your family. God says this, I am doing a new thing. I'm going to make the water come up in the desert. I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. So get ready. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this word today. We give you thanks for how you're always wanting to move in our lives. And I pray that, God, you're in the business of being a way maker. You create pathways out of nothingness. And you've done this in starting this church for so many people. This has become a church that has moved from 2 to where we are today. And we just give you thanks that you have been in the way making business. And I just pray over our stories today, whatever barriers are in front of us, that you would help us all to realize the ways that you are wanting to make in our lives. That you would help us that in those seasons that feel like the wilderness, that you would help us to remember who you are, God, and remember what you've done. But God, to not rely on the methods in which you worked in the past, but to see that you're doing a new thing. That instead of worshiping the methods, to realize that, God, you are the miracle maker, and to trust you at the process that you will make a way and you'll do it again. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.